of July 4th that...
Typically the Guadalupe River is a very calm, peaceful, meandering, beautiful, scenic, restful river. But on that morning, just to give you a little idea, on that morning, around 1 a.m., the flow meters on the South Fork of the Guadalupe were registering about 53 gallons a second. Meaning that you could have walked across that, no problem. You could have probably hopped across it. I mean, like a 55-gallon drum every second is passing by those meters. That was at 1 a.m. Somewhere around 2, a little after 2, the flow meter registered 216,000 gallons per second. And by 4:30, or between 4 and 4:30, it was registering over 1 million gallons a second. The engineer there in town described it as an inland tsunami, a wall of water 55 feet high that came down that narrow channel. Just to give you kind of an idea how those numbers, something that you can relate to, the Niagara Falls, the water that goes over Niagara Falls, it registers at about 75,000 gallons a second. So this was more than 10 times the amount of water that goes over the falls in New York. We got 4 months of rain in just a matter of hours. One of the ladies that we helped, she lived up in Hunt, and she was awakened by the storm and so forth, saw the post office float by out of Hunt, and heard the crashing of the Hunt store that has been there for many, many years. Saw all those pieces going by. Their house was 6 feet above ground level, and the water got that high and 3 feet more. But she took a picture of a radar track from Weather Underground. Some of you might use that. Anyway, somewhere around 1 a.m. in the morning, I would say, or maybe around 2, it was registering 7 inches an hour was falling. 1 minute later, she took another screenshot, and it was now 13.2 inches of water an hour, in just 1 minute from the time she took that first picture. And so homes and lives and businesses businesses and homes have been destroyed. People have lost family members and lives. I know there was a family right here. Brother Doug was telling me just tonight that they lived over in the neighborhood here. A father and a mother and a young man, I believe, who was involved in rodeo. They went over there just to visit on that morning, and they were swept away. And so the stories, all the common denominator is the river. But each story is unique of their survival and is miraculous. They found a little girl. Actually, it was a cadaver dog that found a little girl. They don't know how many hours or even days she might have been in the debris on the side of the river, but she was undiscernible. She was like perfect camouflage, covered with bark and twigs and so forth amongst the others. And they were just walking by, and the dog alerted and started barking, and they went over there, and they didn't see anything. They didn't find anybody there. And suddenly the dog barked and went over to that spot, and they realized there was a person in there, and it was a little girl. And she was in and out of consciousness, but she survived. And so the Lord is allowing us to take tragedy and turn it into opportunity. We've seen one saved. We have a family that's visiting as a result. An adult husband and wife, adult couple, and so we are still in the process of giving away things, chemicals, supplies, cleaning supplies, things for mold and so forth. And you run into people that say, well, I've got enough of that and enough of that. And I say, well, I've also got money. They never seem to turn that part down. And because they just never have enough. And so I'll just tell you, I've given away thousands of dollars. And one man we helped, initially when I got on his property, he cussed me. And basically told me to get off the property. He cussed me pretty bad. I hadn't heard some of that in a long time. And so I put the buckets down, and I went back to my truck and was going to... give those things away and just go back to my truck and finish out the paperwork. And he went off, stormed off, and went around his house. And then a few minutes later, he came back to the truck, and he looked at me, and he said, "Sir, I'm sorry." He said, "I didn't mean to say those things. I don't mean that." He said, "I'm just so frustrated. I've lost everything. And people have come around, they're always asking, what did you do? How did it happen?" And he said, "And I'm tired of telling it." And his name is Steve. And I said, "Steve, if you'll just give me a minute or two," I said, "I do have some things for you, but I also have a check for $1,000 to give to you." Brother, you could just see his shoulders relax. And tears filled his eyes, and then he bear hugged me. And then he said, will you come over and sit in what used to be my garage?" So that's what we did, and we had a great conversation. And he wanted to know, "Where is all this coming from?" I said, "There's a God in heaven that loves you and knows about you and is interested in you." And he said, "Man, you're doing Jesus' work. He was out here amongst the people." Well, all we're trying to do is glorify the Lord and love on our neighbors. And so there's still probably about a month left. I've emptied we have emptied one 40-foot container, and we have about a third out of the second 40-foot container. We'll likely give that out this next month. So I suspect this will go on through September and even beyond that. But what we're seeing, it is catastrophic. And so there's just no other way to describe this than it was almost Nagasaki-like as I looked at the land and saw how it was scoured of anything. There are foundations with no houses on them. There are driveways where there are no longer any homes. And so anyway, I'd never seen the bark stripped off of trees like it was. And is. And the firefighters that have been out there to visit, like Brother Josh and Brother Kyle that are here, they even told me, they said, "Brother, we've never seen anything like this." And so it certainly will be different on July 4th in the years to come. It's changed Kerrville. It's changed our church in some measure. And so the Lord knows what He's doing, and He's on the throne, and we're just going to be faithful and do what we can to help those. And we want to see some folks get in. We want the Lord to be glorified. Amen. Amen. I'd like you to, and I appreciate very much being able to be in your pulpit, brother. I'd have been just as happy to sit out there and be fed. Amen. But I'd like you to turn in your Bibles tonight. I'd like you to turn with me, please. I hope you brought the Word of God to church. I'd like you to go to Philippians chapter 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I want to speak to you tonight about getting your shine on. About getting your shine on. Say, what are you talking about? Well, the Lord Jesus reminded the disciples and us in Matthew that we are the salt of the earth and that we are the light of the world. That salt, if it's going to do any good, it's got to get out of the shaker. Amen? And it's got to make contact. And it must not be corrupted. And the light must not be concealed. He was reminding the disciples of their responsibility and also by way of them, reminding us. And so I want to look at some passages here about how to get your shine on. Do you remember, some of you all are old enough to remember, young people, this may not relate to you exactly, but there was a time when your fathers and grandfathers had flashlights. And they were made of metal. Do you remember that? They were made of metal. They were heavy. And they only made D-sized batteries, as I recall, as a boy. That's the biggest one they had. And you'd put three or four of them in there, Brother Lorne. You'd screw the end on, and the light in the front was about as big as the headlight on your dad's car. You remember those? And every then you'd flip it on, and man, it wouldn't work. And you'd flip it, and you finally had to give it a good whack, and then the light would come on. And that's what I'm talking about, getting your shine on. Now, I'm not going to whack you tonight, but some of you might need a little help. A little help. Let's look at something. I would like you to follow along. Philippians chapter 2. Notice with me. I'd like you to just take one verse tonight. I was going to go to Matthew, but I think we'll just do this. Notice what the scripture says, verse 14. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now watch. Among whom you what? You shine as lights in the world. And so let's pray one more time. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these dear saints. Lord, what a blessing to be back with them. Always a blessing to be in your house, but to be with these good people, Lord. This good work, this good church, Father, that you've raised up and sustained and furthered over the years. We thank you, God, for the opportunity. I pray tonight that you might be glorified even as we sang. And I pray that they would be edified, Lord, and that you'll use me tonight for your glory and honor. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, as I said, the Lord reminded those disciples about their responsibility. And if we're going to shine, we have some responsibility also in that. And I want you to notice the first thing with me. Look in verse 5. We want to look at some things that'll help you shine. Notice what it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a what? Of a servant. Of a servant. I want you to see, first of all, if you're going to shine the way the Lord wants us to shine, your mind has got to be right. You got to have the right mindset about who you are and what you are. You must never forget that you have been purchased and that you and I are no longer our own. You know, the Bible says, Paul wrote and said, you know, that in the past we had been the servants of sin, but now we are free to serve the Lord Jesus, and we are servants. You must never forget that. And the mindset that you need to have is not one of carnality, not one of selfishness, but one of servitude, that you belong to the one who loves you and gave himself for you. Notice what it says. Look down here. Look with me. Look in verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What are we talking about here? In other words, when I think about this, you've got to be in the right position mentally. Did you ever watch those old westerns? My grandsons, when they come over sometimes, I watch the old westerns, and they're all in black and white, and they think there's something wrong with the TV. Amen. I just tell them, man, that's how it used to be. They were all done in gray. But you ever watch some of those? It always stands out. You know, they were going to signal somebody. What would they have? They would have something that they would have a little mirror or whatever, and they'd get in a certain spot, and they could signal somebody else, and they would position that, or they might see something off of a saddle, some silver thing on a saddle, and it would reflect. It would show out there. Well, let me help you with this as a servant. Listen, the light that we possess, if we're going to shine, you got to understand that the light is not ours, it's His. And we are to reflect that light. And so in my thinking, my position has got to be right. My place has got to be right. Because, you know, if I thought about bringing a mirror up here and making a little demonstration, but I think you can get the picture tonight in your mind. If that mirror is not positioned right, you're not going to reflect anything. As a matter of fact, do you understand about the moon? I know it's not a science lesson tonight, but the Bible does say that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Do you know that the moon has no light of its own? It is a reflected light. And no matter how you look at the moon, if it's in a crescent or whatever, it always points to the sun. And I'm talking about pointing to the S-O-N. But the unique thing about the moon is that we only see one side of it. Do you know if the moon ever decided to not be in its place, it would no longer reflect the sun. And it would cease to point us in the direction of the S-U-N. The unique thing about the moon is it not only revolves around the earth, but it rotates in a synchronous rotation. That's the reason why we only see the same side of the moon no matter what we do. It runs the same number of days, 27.3 days, the length of time that it takes for us, that month and so forth. And all the while it's held out there in that position, holding onto that position and rightly reflecting the light of the sun onto this world. And beloved, when you get out of your place, you no longer reflect the light. And it all starts up here. I know you've heard it 1,000 times here, that belief dictates behavior. If you believe and practice that you still belong to yourself, you're never going to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus. Just like how the moon would cease to reflect the sun's rays bound here on earth and have an influence, have an impact. You know that more babies are born on a full moon? It's true. More babies. You can talk to the medical people. They will tell you more children are born on the full moon. The tides are impacted by the moon, the impact that it has. And yet we know it was scarred in creation just like how mankind was. But when you get born again, you can have an influence where you live, where you work, where you play, even at the church house. Amen. If you'll be in your place and have the right mindset about what your role is. Don't get out of place. It starts up here. Don't get out. We say, well, it's in their heart. No, you know what? The battle is right here between our ears. What you think about, you know, you will act out. You know, the book of Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, and so what you think about yourself, you know, that's why the scripture says that we have to have a renewed mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. So I know when I got saved, man, I had to have an adjustment in my thinking about who I was and what I was supposed to be doing. Paul understood that. You remember when he came out there on that in Acts 27, he comes out there and he said, this night an angel of the Lord whose I am and whom I, what? I serve. And beloved, you need to keep that in mind that this is our worship. You come in here to get filled up. It's out there. We call them worship services, but this is not our service. That's what we do out there. We serve out there. You get emptied out there. You come back in here and get filled up, amen, and go back out. This is our service. So it starts with your mind. You got to be in the right position to reflect. And a servant who's thinking is right about that will reflect the light. Remember when the Lord Jesus came? Everywhere he went, he magnified the Father. He magnified the Father, magnified the Father. He reflected everything, all the praise, all the glory, all those things, all to the Father. Why? Because his mind was right. And the passage says, let this mind be in you. That means you have something to do with that. It's not a passive activity. It's something that you should embrace. So if you want to reflect the light, your mind's got to be right. Then I want you to notice the second thing with me. I just got three little things here. I want you to see this. Look down in verse 12. If you're going to reflect the light, if you're going to get your shine on, not only are you going to have your right mind, but there's going to be required some maturity. Some maturity. Notice what he says here. Look in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own, what? Your own salvation with fear and trembling. Mom and Dad, let me ask you a question. Do you remember how old they were when you finally decided that you could leave your children at home unattended? You say, I still can't do that. And they're teenagers. Well, that's a shame. You understand? In other words, the maturity. It's one thing to obey in the presence of mom and dad. It's another thing to do right when nobody else is around. If you're going to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, what did it say about him in John 8, verse 29? He said, I do always those things which please my Father. He could be trusted. He could be let alone. And so too it is that there has to be some maturity. There has to be some growing up. I think of three things. I think, number one, I think about integrity. Remember what Paul said? When I was a child, I what? I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That speaks of maturity. If you're going to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus, it's going to take some maturity. What are the marks of maturity? One of them is integrity. What is integrity? Integrity is just basically doing the right thing when no one else is there to provoke you. That's why he said, as you did this in my presence, much more now would you do that in my absence. That I don't have to be watching you. I hope it's this way at your house. You know when they learn to pick up after themselves? Some mothers are nodding their head up and down. Some of you have yet to discover that. You know, I remember, you know, it's not like this. You know, come on, Bobby, let's go. Let's pick up your toys. And then mom goes down there and picks up the toy and puts it away. Come on, Bobby, let's pick it. No, Bobby needs to pick up the toys. Maturity is integrity when there's no one else doing what is right without having to be prompted by somebody else, by another authority, another figure. Isn't the Spirit of God and the Word of God enough authority in our lives? Isn't it worthy of doing what He says when He says it? And so it speaks of integrity. I think it also speaks about, if you will, fidelity. What is fidelity? Fidelity is just a faithfulness to complete the task. That you don't have to be prompted to do what the Lord has told you to do. If you want to reflect the light, have some integrity, have some fidelity that you are trustworthy, that you are responsible, that you show accountability. Then you move up. Then you can do more things. Then God will take you out there and allow you to show forth a little light. Why? Because you'll be an example. There'll be that humility. You won't be in it for self-interest. You'll have the attitude of a servant. And that word servant there is just a bond slave. That's all that is. I know you're not Greek, but I remember that word that I learned in school. It's called doulos. Not do less, but doulos, all right? And it was there intended. That just meant you were a bond slave. You were that guy that, if you will, if he really loved his master, he would bore a hole in the ear, and then he would put a ring in there. I love my master, and I've given myself to servitude. Isn't he a benevolent master? I mean, the greatest commandment ought to be the easiest commandment, shouldn't it be? To love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. To do those things, man, it speaks of integrity, it speaks of fidelity, and I think it speaks of flexibility. What do you mean, flexibility? Sometimes, some things, just like that little mirror, it's got to be adjusted sometimes. And sometimes the Lord will adjust your circumstances for you to be able to roll with the punches and not fall apart. And not come unglued when everything was seemingly like when all the things that you're counting on, and now some of those things start to show a little instability. What are you going to do? A mature person has remembered some things, and they look to the Lord, and they've seen the faithfulness of God. You're exercising their fidelity, full of faith, and so forth. And God is reworking some things. I mean, you look at all the things that changed in the lives of the disciples. You look at the things that changed in the life of the Apostle Paul. I mean, take a look around some of the missionaries, some of the things they've had to endure, some of the things they've had to go through. And you say, well, Brother Ed, we're not missionaries. But I'll guarantee you, every one of you is in the ministry. They were being called upon here to obey in his absence. He didn't say when everything was going good. He didn't say just because it was easy. He didn't say that you were going to like everything. I mean, there is that passage. What? In everything? It didn't say for everything give thanks. It just said in everything give thanks. That is a mark of maturity. And that really shines a light because that has an impact upon people. Sometimes we wonder, how in the world did you do that? How in the world could you do that? Well, maybe it might just be because they have grace and you don't right now. But if you were in that situation, God would supply you with the grace. And they have learned to trust that. We're talking about how to shine. Can he use you to reflect anything? Are you maturing? Is your mind right? Meaning your motive, is it right? You know, I've told the story here. You know, there's that, you know, Charlotte's Web. And there's all those characters. You got the pig and you got the spider and Charlotte. And you got all the, and then they're looking for somebody to help that pig. And there's old Templeton. Who's he? Anybody remember who Templeton is? Who is he, sister? He's a rat.
temple to the rat, and they wanted to get him to do something so we can protect the pig and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? As long as you're only interested in what's in it for you, you're not going to shine very much. Maturity. Maturity. Let me give you the last thing and I'm going to be done. Look in verse 14 with me. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. When I think about this, not only do I think about having the right mind and some maturity, but I also think about the messaging. What messaging are you carrying? You know, it's amazing. We even out there in little old Kerrville, we got about 25,000 people there in our town. Man, I live in a retirement city, Brother Lauren. The average age there is 55. People talk about living in retirement communities. I live in a retirement city. In all of the county, there's only about 52,000 people. That's less than 0.1% of what you have here in Montgomery County. We like it. Amen. And so this messaging, and what we're doing here. And so, you know, here's the thing. What are you communicating? But there in Kerrville, we got fiber optics. Don't ask me why we got it so right away, but you know what? It's amazing. And what is fiber optics? That's some sort of glass. It's all in a strand. And they push light through it. And that light carries, somebody help me here. I don't know what, brother, what is that? Megabytes per second? Is that what the MBS is? Like 1 terabyte. 1 TB. Have you seen that anywhere on your stuff? I know some of y'all are still trying to figure out your cell phone. I understand. I have a 19th century man. He's got a phone, but he doesn't text. He doesn't do any of that. But I mean, 1 terabyte, and that's a whole lot, all right? And what they're able to do, they're able to push data and information through that piece of glass. It looks like it's no bigger than your normal spaghetti in diameter. And it's made of this glass, and they're pushing light through there, and that light is carrying messages and pictures and data. It's only that big around. So they're using light to communicate. What are you communicating? Is in your reflection, just like they would use that mirror, those different dashes and dots and how long they would do that, it's communicating a message. What message are you as an individual communicating to those around you? Now, listen, I read this somewhere and I can't think of who the person was and I would give them the credit. You know, Jesus wept, but he never whined. He never whined. You say, well, what about in the garden? Oh, no, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Did he have strong tears? Did he have sweat drops? Oh, absolutely he did. He knew what was coming. That wasn't whining. He was just facing reality. What did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He didn't whine through anything that happened in his life. Murmuring and complaining, boy, that, you know what? That can become a habit. We don't have to express everything that we think or feel. You don't have to say it. See, it goes back to the maturity, knowing when to keep your mouth shut. I'm not being ugly, I'm just being honest with you. If you want to shine some light, be the guy who's using the 10 bars and 2 doors. The 10 bars, Bill Allen said that, those are the 10 teeth he got right in front. You got them clenched. And the 2 doors are those 2 lips to keep what? To keep that tiger that's in there. That thing that's set on hellfire. That thing that hurts the littlest member that does the most damage. And so what do you do to the message? What are you doing with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes our behavior speaks volumes. It really does. It tells a story. It's true, we're seated in heavenly places. Isn't that so? Isn't that what the Bible says? I'm seated in heavenly places. Well, you know what? Some of that heavenliness needs to get down here on the job. Some of that heavenliness needs to be in your home. Some of that heavenliness needs to be in your relationship with your co-workers. We say that we're there, but what are we reflecting down here? I'm talking about how to get you shine up. Some of y'all quit smiling at me already. I thought it was going to be nice to have Brother Ed back here. Hey, listen, I prayed about what to do. This is all that he gave me for y'all. He knew who would be here tonight. Oh, I'm not upset. I'm just saying, I'm just watching some of y'all. I'm looking at the expression on your face. You're messaging me. That's what you're doing. What's in here shows up on here, does it not? It does. I'm just saying, listen, you know what? We've got to have that. The life of the Lord Jesus must be visualized as we walk and manifest it. That's why the Bible says, Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The Holy Spirit came to live on the inside to be my guide, my remembrancer, my comforter. All those things to help me overcome so I don't have to live with murmurings and disputing. Murmurings, that's what happens on the inside. The disputing is what shows up on the outside. Doing your best, that's why it says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now listen, this is easier to preach than it is to practice. I was in some nasty traffic in Central Florida just a few days ago. Bad. I failed the test, so no doubt there's more coming my way. Sometimes the smallest things get in the way of the consistency of our life. And it broadcasts, it reflects a message that is not what it's supposed to be. You know, we don't want to be like, you remember there in the Old Testament when Gideon was there and he had his 300 men and so forth, and they were going to take that town, they were going to take those soldiers with that, you know, the sword of the Lord, and Gideon, they were supposed to shout that, and they had these candlesticks and they had pitchers on top of them. You remember that story there in the book of Judges? And what were they supposed to do when they said those words and they came upon that encampment? They had to break those pitchers in the middle of the night so that light would shine. And maybe for some of us, we're just lacking some brokenness for the light to come forth. Maybe there's going to be some other things in your life that are going to come along to help break that shell of self. The harder the thickness, the more pressures, the more difficult sometimes those circumstances can be until you raise the flag of surrender. It's not an act, but it's an attitude. What message are you bringing forth consistently in your life? What are you known for? Are you just the old grump? I told Brother Oakley, I said, all the grouchy people have to sit in the back. And he said, is that your seat right there? I thought you would have helped him by now, brother. Oh, man. Well, you know what? If you really want to know the truth, ask a kid or ask an old person, man. They'll tell you. But what are you messaging other people? Are you the old grouch? Are you the man or woman with the short fuse? Goes back to here. If you understand who you're a servant of, aren't we supposed to serve the Lord with what? Gladness. In singleness of heart. Maybe your maturity. Maybe you've not been through enough things yet. Maybe they can't leave you at home by yourself. But the Lord wants you to mature. That's the desire of every pastor, is to bring his people onto maturity, is to see them grow in grace and knowledge. God wants you to grow right along with that. He wants you to be who you should be in the Lord, in the body of Christ, fulfilling your role. You think about a body. You know, I'm glad that when God put this together, you know, as these children come along, they're born, they're, the organs, all the things are small and they're little, and yet some things have to be developed. But they all go through and they begin to develop, and you don't have a giant lung or one big giant ear while the other one's trying to catch up. It all kind of happens, but that's not that way in a church. If we really were representative of the parts of a body, well, we might look strange. Brother, I think, what do you call that? Positive proprioception? Man, I read that on my cereal box this morning before I came over. That just simply means that you know how you're oriented in the world. But I think sometimes about the body of Christ, man, we got a few squigglies out there. Is your mind right? Are you maturing? Can God trust you enough to use you? And then what message are you giving to others about the Lord? You know, I've said it here. I don't want to be a bad attitude Baptist. I've met enough of them. I don't want to look like that couple on the cornflakes box, you know, the guy that's standing there. I think that's actually a piece of art. Truly, art is in the eye of the beholder. Amen. But they call that American Gothic. Now, that poor man that's there with the pitchfork, and I don't know if that's his wife or his daughter. If that's his daughter, that's why she's probably still at the house. Amen. You know, Leah, the Bible says of Leah, she was tender-eyed. You know what that means, don't you? That means when you go on a blind date and they tell you, well, she has a very nice personality. That's what that means. I don't want to be like that. I want to give forth the right message, not sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. I want it to ring true, don't you? I know you do. I know you do. You desire to do that. Let's get our shine on. If your mind needs a little help, rethink about who you are and who you belong to. If there's some maturity that needs to take place, well, you know, you got to grow up. Babies are always worried about a lot of incidental, petty things. What is the message? We do have something to tell to others, do we not? And we want to put it in the right frame, in the right spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these dear saints, Lord. And I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being here today. Thank you for my salvation, dear God. Help me to practice indeed what I preach. And to make a difference in my community and in my church and with my brothers and sisters, Lord, back there. I pray, Father, you'll have your way now tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.